We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard. He flies and slams. Aerial assault from Judah Mintz.
Looking to go back door to Bell. They get it to a near corner three, knocks it down. Chris Bell, the sharpshooter.
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams surges ahead, up with the right hand and in. A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Well, just like that, after the win of the year for Syracuse men's basketball, it all blows up right in their face as Syracuse drops another, this time to Georgia Tech, on the road. With Ian Unsworth, I'm Johnny Gadamowicz. Welcome to another edition of Red is the New Orange. As always, we've got your Cuse Men's Hoops coverage all season long, every noon, Monday and Friday, reacting to whatever's going on in the world of Syracuse Hoops. And right now, Ian, a heck of a lot more negative than positive when you think about all the momentum, everybody juiced up, ready to go for this home stretch. And just like that, it all sort of fizzles right out in a game that was kind of there for the taking a little bit, but the Orange couldn't pull it out in the end.
Hate to be an I told you so guy, but we got on here and said, let's not talk about the tournament. Let's slow down any grand wishes of Syracuse putting something together and making a run, because the emotional highs of this team are high. And the lows are low. And this was a real low. You could tell it was starting to burst at the seams at the end. These guys are arguing. They're fighting. I mean, I don't know what they're fighting over. It's a two-point game. And you've got Chris Bell, Quadir Copeland, and J.J. Starling all just squabbling it at each other in the under-four huddle. It doesn't make any sense to me. Again, we hope down the road, maybe in a year or two, cooler heads prevail. But after I saw that, no matter how much time was left, Johnny, I knew that Syracuse wasn't winning this game. Because there was none of that on the Georgia Tech side.
Yeah, not at all. And remember, this is a Georgia Tech team that was 1-7 over its previous 8 games.
That only won 3 conference games.
Not a very good Yellow Jacket squad at all. A really tough loss for Syracuse. And I think the two biggest issues that this team has had all year were the two biggest issues that reared their ugly head in this basketball game: a shooting problem and a rebounding problem. When your biggest guy is 6'8 in Malik Brown, and granted, Georgia Tech didn't have a ton of size. I think they had 2 6'9 guys that each had right around 10 rebounds that were just giving Malik fits down low. Miles Kelly got involved on the glass a decent amount as well. But this team just does not have guys who are putting up hovering around double-digit rebounds consistently. Not a lot of size. And then you go over to the shooting, and the shooting was a real issue in this game, Ian. I mean, when you talk about the ability to step back from beyond the arc and cash in on three-pointers, and from a Syracuse standpoint, you do that only 4 times on 25 attempts for a very ugly percentage of 16%. I don't care how good your defense is. I don't care if Judah's on. I don't care how many points you're generating off of turnovers. You can't win games that way.
Georgia Tech is one of the best in the ACC when it comes to guarding the three-point line, too. So a little bit of pressure out there, packing it in on the bottom. And Syracuse went on some nasty droughts. That's how it's been all season long. You just can't win a game when Justin Taylor has taken seven shots. And he's a starter. That's a damn shame to say. But when Mintz has more shot attempts than points, when Starling has the green light to fire away from three, just hoping something will catch and it doesn't, as does Bell, when none of those guys are on, and that's what it felt like on Saturday, nobody was on. Georgia Tech did a great job of keeping the ball out of Judah's hands for majorities of possessions, staying glued to Bell in transition. Syracuse didn't really get a lot of transition, if we're being completely honest. Forcing the ball into Justin Taylor's hands is a winning strategy for any opponent. Sometimes he just looks like he doesn't want to be a part of the offense. He'll take a dribble and pass it off. Georgia Tech left him so wide open that he had to take these shots, and he looked uncomfortable doing it.
They dared him to. He did, and the results weren't there. Syracuse did not have a field goal as Ian's alarm number two on the morning goes off and shuts it off.
I didn't sleep through it.
Syracuse did not have a field goal in the last 5 minutes and 50 seconds. You mentioned those ebbs and flows, those droughts, right? To have that come in crunch time, the final 6 minutes of the basketball game, you don't have a main shot from the floor. How are you going to find a way to pull it out there? Another interesting number for you, and this comes courtesy of Mike Waters, who does great work, obviously, with Syracuse.com, and we had on the show earlier on in the season. You look at the rebounding number, it came down to 49 to 28. But you zoom out and you look at the last six games, Syracuse has an average rebounding margin of minus 14 and a half. Alarming. Alarming to say the least. Because for all the conversations we had earlier when Nyheim McLeod went down, Ian, and I tried to spin things in a positive way and say, no, don't fit a square peg into a round hole. If rebounding's not your strength and if shooting's not your strength, that's okay. You can make up for it in other areas. I was dead wrong. I'll be the first to admit it. Those two aspects of the game are just too much to overcome when you don't have it. And it will force you to lose games against teams that are 1-7 in their previous eight. And it's tough to keep killing them. And it's tough to keep slamming them because I think it boils down to just the roster. Like, this team doesn't have shooters and it doesn't really have rebounders. So to expect them to shoot and rebound better is almost fool's gold because they can't, just based on the makeup of the team. But at the same token, that doesn't make it any less frustrating to watch on a night-in, night-out basis.
What was the game decided on? Offensive rebound off a free throw.
Yeah. Oh,
that is a tough pill to swallow. With 22 seconds left, you can't block out. It's the sort of thing that just doesn't sit right with you. You know what I mean? Where's the goodness in that? I think something we should keep in mind with the rebounding is that Syracuse missed so much today that the rebounding margin was going to be kind of ugly.
Yeah.
Because this team with its size just can't get after it on the offensive glass. And you missed, what, 38 of 60 shots?
Yep.
Yeah. It's not going to be good. So North Carolina State coming up won't rebound well. Georgia Tech wasn't roster-wise set up to rebound well, but they had 49 rebounds because Syracuse was bricking and bricking. So that contributes to the rebounding margin. when it comes to that sort of thing. It's not like the Orange were getting killed on the offensive glass like the zone over and over again did last year. But it's still not a good number. And I think problem two that you brought up, Johnny, is definitely exacerbated by problem one. There's no way to fix problem one. Guys just don't start shooting well. It doesn't really happen at this point. We know what we're getting.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
After North Carolina, I was happy about the shooting. Things moving in the right direction, right? You knocked down 8 3-pointers on 17 attempts for a very crisp 47% from range. But to think that consistency is a word that goes hand in hand and should be mentioned in the same conversation as the 2023-24 Syracuse men's basketball squad, that is getting ahead of ourselves.
But the shooting numbers against UNC were good, but it was still the same two dudes making them, Starling and Bell. And Starling and Bell went a combined 4 for 14 against Georgia Tech.
They were the only players who made 3-pointers. Everybody else was either Ofer, whether his name be Judah Mintz, Justin Taylor, Quadir Copeland, or Kyle Cuff, or they didn't take a 3-pointer, period. So Syracuse falls 65-60 in a game that was really a rough watch, whether you saw the Clemson shoot around for a couple of minutes, yeah, as the CW network had to change things up as they lost their feed. That definitely was not on my bingo board. But all things considered, another really tough loss for the Orange, who now, as you zoom out and you look at the rest of this regular season, just won't have the same juice. Syracuse now sub 500, 7-8, back to a game under 500 in conference play. And maybe more importantly, Ian, and this is something we haven't harped on a ton this year that we could talk about a little bit now, just 2-6 on the road in true away games this year. Obviously, the Dome is an advantage, and we hear all the time about how it is a unique environment, whether it be the depth perception or just the amount of people it can hold. But this team just hasn't necessarily been able to get it done on the road for whatever reason. And I think that's something that when you look at today's day and age of college basketball, like, that's a mark of good teams, right? Teams who can go on the road and you don't see that drop off. They're just as capable of going out there and giving you high quality performances. And I know it's tough to win conference road games, especially in a conference like the ACC. But at some point, if you want to move the needle, you can't just bank on your home wins. And it feels like that's been the case this year for Syracuse. When you're home, it's okay, take advantage, because you know when you go on the road, nothing is given. And I think if this team wants to get to that next level, whether it's next year or down the line, you need to even that scale of, okay, yeah, we're going on the road, but we still expect to go out there and win a basketball game. And you just haven't had that feeling enough this year.
It has to come with maturity, putting your heads together over the off season. And once you get back in a Cameron indoor, or once you stepped foot inside the Dean Dome again, or whatever the hell they're building down here to replace the Dean Dome for some reason. I don't know why, but they want to. Money is money, and money is king. But when you get into those road environments, you have to say, we've been here before. We understand what the crowd might do to us, what the emotion of the home team will do. And you have to be ready for those environments and react accordingly. You can't lose your minds when the going gets tough. Because how many times this year have we seen Syracuse's players turn on each other or start complaining when the going gets tough? Too many times, if we're being completely honest, especially in close games. It's one thing if you're down 30 to North Carolina. Yeah, you can be frustrated. But you can't get mad at each other in a two-point game. That just shouldn't happen, especially in conference play. So I think there's something to be said for the environments and the emotion of the road game getting in these guys' heads. Just like at home, you've got your crowd behind you. It's much easier to get fired up and stay at peak energy level, as we talked about with the rebounding effort and the defense against UNC. Look at the Wake Forest game. They lost by 29, and then Wake Forest goes on the road and puts up 47 against Virginia on Saturday. I mean, winning on the road is no joke, but you have to stay together. And even though Wake put up 47 points, they had a chance to tie the game at the end. And what happened? Their fifth-year senior guard, Cam Hildreth, dribbled the ball down the court. It wasn't his ball to dribble down the court, and he took a contested turnaround fadeaway to lose the game.
Yeah, Virginia won that game with, what, 49 points?
Yeah, it happens over and over. It'll happen over and over again, right? I mean, that could have been a Wake Forest football score like 2 years ago. It happens over and over again, and it happens with much more experienced and mature players than Syracuse has. But it shouldn't happen in the sense that your players are arguing with one another or there is infighting within the group. You know, if you have a Chris Webber timeout situation, that's understandable. But you should not be fighting amongst one another.
In case you're having trouble, when Syracuse's two true road wins were, we'll remind you, it was at Georgetown, not even a conference game. And then the last one was over a month ago at this point at the Pete against the Pitt Panthers. The Orange will have an opportunity to pick up just that second ACC road win coming up Tuesday down in Raleigh against an NC State Wolfpack team that the Orange have already had success against this year, a 12-point win against NC State back at the end of January up in the 315. We'll look ahead to the Wolfpack after a short break. Stay with us.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider the level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast.
Well, Syracuse coming into this NC State game reeling. NC State coming into this contest feeling pretty good. Just took down Clemson on the road in a thriller, 78-77. Prior to that win, though, Wolfpack were going through it a little bit. They had lost three of their previous five wins over Miami and Georgia Tech during that span. And, of course, the Georgia Tech squad that Syracuse just fell to. But a little bit of a similar narrative for NC State here at this point in the year, Ian. Maybe a little bit better than Syracuse, 8-6 in the ACC, and clinging on to those hopes a bit more than the Orange are, and they have a little bit more of a resume to back it up. By no means are they world beaters, but, Ian, as we mentioned before the break, Syracuse found success against this NC State squad earlier in the year. It's a Wolfpack team that is a little bit smaller. They'll roll out four guards at a time. You know, size-wise, they match up pretty well, pretty comparable to Syracuse as far as the makeup of who's going to be on the court and the types of players that are going to be on the court. But now if you're the Orange, and you got to find a way to get back in the win column and just try to put this bad loss behind you sooner rather than later without letting it kind of spiral.
It's happened before. I mean, Syracuse has beat NC State six straight times. Just a strange anomaly against a conference opponent that's usually talent-wise at your level. I think it's because Kevin Keats isn't that great of a coach. But again, the proof is in the pudding when he brought his best player off the bench in the Dome and they got down early and couldn't catch up. Syracuse put the clamps on DJ Horn for the majority of that game. But the environment, I think, Tuesday will be a little bit different. PNC Arena is a pro hockey arena where NC State just happens to play basketball. Court's a bit further away than McCamish Pavilion. So let's see what kind of crowd shows up after North Carolina State beats Clemson. Only turns it over seven times. Pretty impressive number on the road at an 8 o'clock game. We'll see how Syracuse handles that. Do I think they handle it well? Maybe. Do I think Kevin Keats brings DJ Burns off the bench again? He just might.
I mean, well, when you look at how that first half went against the Orange last time, Ian, it didn't go too well. I wouldn't bank on NC State shooting 21% from the floor through the first 20 minutes. And maybe that's reason to get Burns back in the starting lineup if you're Keats.
Well, Burns played well against Clemson, had 14, I think. And that's against PJ Hall, who is one of, if not the best big man in the ACC. And Peter Carey, who somehow was the Burns stopper, is out, concussed. He's been out. And Munir Hema suddenly looks like he's forgot how to play the game. So
he played all of about 45 seconds against Georgia Tech.
I think he committed a foul or turned it over or something, and they put him right back on the bench.
Right.
So I don't know what the heck they're going to do if Malik Brown gets in foul trouble. And I think J.J. Starling has to have another big game. Because now it's Judah Mintz, who's not exactly consistent. Didn't get to the free throw line enough against Georgia Tech. And I think this NC State game, if I'm remembering correctly, he wasn't exactly the greatest either. So we'll see how that plays out. North Carolina State's guards and Syracuse's guards will just go toe-to-toe, and we'll see who's better.
Yeah, Starling finished with 26, had one of his better games of the season against the Wolfpack last time out. And I mentioned that cold start for NC State. Syracuse led by 16 at the break because the Wolfpack shot just 21%. Not only did NC State start terribly, but Syracuse, if you remember, finished really strong. They shot 57% in the second half. And even though NC State's offense started to turn the corner coming out of the halftime locker room, it was just too deep of a hole to dig themselves out of. But again, as we mentioned before we took our break in the middle of the podcast a couple minutes ago, this is a Syracuse team that has just shown an inability to go out there and win on the road. They haven't done it in over a month. And NC State's going to be riding high, feeling pretty good. I think one thing, Ian, that I'm keying in on from a Syracuse standpoint is, where's Chris Bell in this basketball game? How does he factor in, right? Are we going to get good Chris Bell or bad Chris Bell? Because I think it's fair to say that when Syracuse has gotten good Chris Bell this year, more often than not, they've found ways to win. And when they've gotten bad Chris Bell this year, things haven't gone their way because they haven't had that guy who can step back and knock it down from beyond the arc. It seems weird on the surface level to call him the X factor, but I almost think it is that simple, right? Like, I don't think there's any crazy need to overanalyze it. When this dude makes shots, it gives them that much better of a chance to win. And when he doesn't, that's a lot of offense you got to look elsewhere for.
I guess. I mean, I think if we're doing like keys to the game type thing, I would say you have to stop DJ Horn, especially down the stretch. North Carolina State scored 29 points in the final 10 minutes of that Clemson game, and Horn was the majority of those points. He finished with 27 and was 5 of 11 from 3. Hit the big, big 3 to put NC State up 3, and then they finished it out making their free throws. But you have to stop that guy because he had a bad game, especially bad first half. And down the stretch, if there is a big shot to be made, he's going to be the one shooting it.
It's on national television. Why? I'm not quite sure. But it's
because Jesse Edwards made a 3 last year. That's why.
Yeah. ESPN 2, Tuesday, 7 o'clock from PNC Arena. Ian, you will be in the house. So
hope so.
You enjoy the game. As Syracuse tries to get back in the win column against the Wolfpack, we'll find out if they can do just that coming up on Tuesday night. Of course, as always, we'll be back with you Friday afternoon to break it all down and look ahead to the weekend for Syracuse men's basketball when they play one of maybe, if not the worst teams in the ACC in Notre Dame, and the J.J. Starling revenge game, if you want to call it that. Not in Notre Dame, in Syracuse, but still, obviously, I'm sure there'll be some emotion there. That's coming up on Saturday, and we'll, of course, preview that for you on Friday. But until then, drop us a follow, drop us a like, drop us a subscribe. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, be sure to check out all of the Field of 68 stuff as we hit this tail end of the regular season and get ready to buckle up for conference tournaments. It'll be here before you know it. But until then, we will talk to you on Friday. Enjoy Syracuse and NC State coming up Tuesday night from Raleigh.